Aloha mai kākou. My name is Kenji Cataldo, the producer of this series, Makua Piko of Peace, on the Before Us podcast. Now, some of you might be wondering who I am and why I took on telling this story as someone who's not Hawaiian or from Waianae. Others of you might be wondering why I'm bothering to make this extra podcast about myself when the story is about Makua. If you're in the latter camp, feel free to stop listening. But I did want to put this out there as an optional listen for anyone who wants to know my why. As a graduate student of Pacific Island Studies at the University of Hawaii at Manoa, I've been trained in the importance of identifying my positionality in research, how my identity and genealogy relate to the story I'm telling. Is this a story of my own community or of another community? What are my relationships with the people, lands, and communities involved in this project? In this extra episode, I want to share a bit of my own story and the story of my relationship with Malama Makua. I was born in Japan, raised primarily in the Twin Cities, Minnesota, which is Dakota land, and have been living in Honolulu since 2020. I'm an Asian settler in Hawaii. Now, the word settler can be used with different intentions. For me, calling myself a settler is simply an acknowledgement of two things about the context of Hawaii and about myself. The first is that I'm living in a place that is structured by settler colonialism, where Hawaiian national sovereignty and Kanaka Maoli political self-determination have been suppressed by colonizers who have dispossessed Kanaka of land and who maintain political and economic dominance in the settler state. In Hawaii, that settler state includes Asians who rose to political and economic power after World War II. And the second thing is that I have moved into the settler colonial context as someone who does not have genealogical ties to this land. The positionality of being a settler is just an entry point, the background I'm coming into this work from, and of course, I would be a settler not just in Hawaii, but also back in Minnesota or anywhere else I might live in the settler colonial nation called the United States as a person of Japanese and European ancestry. It's something I can't change, but it also doesn't have to determine how I act or who I build relationships with. A settler doesn't have to act like a colonizer, and I believe in the responsibility of settlers to actively and respectfully support indigenous efforts for self-determination and land back. As an Asian settler, I also see another layer to this positionality. The U.S. occupies Hawaii as a base to try and control the Pacific and project power in Asia. For over a century, there's been a pattern of identifying some power or another in Asia as a threat to justify the militarization of Hawaii and the ongoing taking of Hawaiian land for military training, fuel and munitions depots, missile tracking stations, and other military installations. The creation of orientalized enemies and successive wars have been a consistent feature of U.S. foreign relations, from the suppression of independence in the Philippines, to inter-imperial conflict with Japan in World War II, to the anti-communist wars in Korea and Vietnam, to the war on terror in the Middle East, to the current geopolitical competition with China. Hawaii and other Pacific islands have been caught in the middle of conflicts not of their own making, pulled into a vast military network to advance U.S. power at the expense of local community well-being and natural resources. In short, for the U.S., war in Asia means taking Hawaiian and Pacific Island lands. More specifically, Makua was taken by the army during the inter-imperial conflict between the U.S. and Japan during World War II. The attack on Pearl Harbor itself was proof that the U.S.'s military presence in Hawaii put a target on Hawaii communities. Today, it's geopolitical competition with China that the U.S. is obsessed with, and the supposed need to counter China is currently driving further militarization across the U.S.'s Pacific territories, not only in Hawaii, but also in Guam and other islands in the northern and western Pacific. The pattern of orientalization and war in Asia has also impacted Asian Americans in the continental U.S. Chinese exclusion, Japanese internment, lynchings and hate crimes, Islamophobia. And war is a big push factor that has driven migration from Asia to the U.S., including formal refugee resettlement programs. Asians and Pacific Islanders, including Hawaiians, have had distinct but connected experiences of militarism and imperialism that, for me, form the political basis for my own involvement in supporting Hawaiian activism for demilitarization and sovereignty. the demilitarization of Hawaii, the end of U.S. imperialism in the Pacific and Asia, and the well-being and security of Pacific Islander and Asian American communities are all deeply connected. So my hope is that by supporting the mission of Malama Makua and telling this story, I can offer a small contribution to that larger vision of liberation and peace. Over the past 4 years, I have become increasingly involved with Malama Makua, not only as a researcher and storyteller, but also being called into other support roles by Auntie Lynette Cruz. In the summer of 2022, I was invited to join the board. Malama Makua had just adopted an expanded mission statement, not just to Malama or Care for Makua, but to Malama Makua as the Pico of Global Peace and Hoʻihoʻiʻea, as a node in global networks of communities struggling for peace and the restoration of sovereignty. As you hear in Episode 5, this new mission statement created more space for people of different positionalities to have a role in building solidarity and working towards peace. To be clear, as a newly arrived settler, I don't believe that I myself have any claim over the future of Makua, but I do believe I can and should play a role in getting the army out so that the community can exercise their kuleana to the valley. And the lessons I learned from Makua and from the kia'i of Malama Makua in the process, I can share with my own communities and with others in struggle. I'm so grateful to the Malama Makua Ohana for the aloha and care we have shared and continue to share, and for everything you have taught me. I especially want to mahalo Auntie Lynette Cruz, Uncle Sparky Rodriguez, and Uncle Vince Dodge, as well as Auntie Karen Young, Uncle Joe Astoris, the late Justin Hill, Kyle Kajihiro, Nathan Rout, Trisha Martin, Taylor Chang, Emily Kandagawa, Anela Fernandez, and Bailey Smith. Mahalo also to William and Melva Ayla, Auntie Lucy Gay, the late Auntie Walter B. Aldiger, Ford Ushijima, Aleu Robbins, and everyone connected to Makua, past, present, and future. Aloha Nui.